The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I was born on Tibeke Island. Some people work hard all week, but come Friday and Saturday, they go down to the old schoolhouse and dance to the Rick and Squid Band. I want you to meet some of them right now. My Gertie, old lady, old woman, come here, gal. Go on the dresser, get that old comb, put on a piece of wax paper on the floor. Beep, 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 beep. Jim! Jim Smith! Go out there in the woodshed, get that old saw, which is cut up wood with. Get that old dab up there for the kitchen and scrape that off. Boy, go outside, you know that goat we killed yesterday. Get that old Robin Hood, put drum kick, nail that drum out and beat it. Wham! Yeah, boy. Daisy Maki, boy, Fallon, Fallon Maki. Play your more organ. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, buddy, y'all sounding good, you know. Oscar, Oscar from Cat Island, blow that juice to the bottle. Ben Strawn, take and blow that concertina, you know that fee fong, fee fong, fee fong. Gone to Kid Island, gone to Kid Island, join the Rick and Scrape Band. Gone to Kid Island, oh, Kid Island, join the Rick and Scrape Band. Doing the polka, polka
muscle. Good yawning this morning. In fact, forgive me, let me start the show properly. Good raking and scraping in this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. It is Thursday, the 15th of July, and you are on the clock. And if you couldn't tell already, my guest in studio today is Mr. Sidney Isaacs, Mr. Going Back to Cat Island. So, Kermit, thank you. The most perfect song, Bebop, Bebop. That got to be the sweetest sound in Bahamian music ever. I'm going to introduce my guest right now. Say good morning, Mr. Isaacs.
Good morning, Bahamas, and good morning, Ms. Green. Man, look here. You know Cat Island in the house when you hear the great McFarlane, Tony, a.k.a. Exuma, the Obia man, McKay, introduce that song and play that song. There is no sweeter sound in the world other than Cat Island rake and scrape.
Absolutely. And we had to play that song because if you didn't notice, I certainly notice a severe lack of family island representation in the independence celebrations, right? And that can no longer stand. So I just wanted to give you all a brief intro of what you all could expect today because I owe Mr. Isaacs and all of Cat Island this replay. And it couldn't, this part two, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Because I got a question for Family Islanders. Do you feel like your voice and your commitment to country was represented in this 48th Independence Celebration? But before we get there, let me open up the show. Good morning to my audience. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And on the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. So we're going to get into this very quickly. First, housekeeping note. There were four stories in the paper yesterday that I didn't get a chance to talk about. I'm only going to mention what they are, and I think everybody should take a look at these stories. So the first one is the story about the receipt of Pfizer vaccines. And at the very end of the Guardian article, there is a quote by the Minister of Health referencing children. And it seems so odd the way that the story is laid out. And so I encourage you to read that story yourself. Also, the story about the August end of the state of emergency, featuring remarks by Minister Wells. Also, the story about potential or possible, the consideration of mandatory vaccinations for healthcare workers. And then another interesting story that was sort of under the fold in the paper. The Tripartite Council speaks on tests, but no definitive position as yet on vaccine. should take a look at those stories. Another point. I saw an ad for a tracking device this week. You know, like when you got too many mangoes to count one time, so you put a tracking device on it so you know when it leave the yard. Yeah. And so my spirit led me to share this word with you and the people who put out that ad for the tracking devices. In case you didn't know, stalking is illegal. And to the people who put out the ad specifically, don't make ads that promote illegal activities like stalking and domestic violence and intimate partner violence. You want a great ad tracking commercial? Put a tracker on the VAT money. You remember when Rodney McCoy was talking about two meats? Put a tracker on the kitchen in Government House. Put it on Mango, but don't be tracking your partners. That's not this. There are lots of comedians out there that could help you guys put together a fantastic ad, okay? So I ain't gonna call your name. I just saying, stalking is illegal. Another note as we get into the show, some very, very shocking, sudden, and sad news. I want to say condolences to the family and friends of Mr. Kendall Colebrook, a.k.a. KCX. And KCX was an environmental advocate and activist. He was a political advocate, but specifically he was an advocate for Bahamians. Right? Like, if you say he's an advocate for Bahamians, and he was most concerned about the health and wellness of his fellow citizens in Grand Bahama. And this boy lived and died for his cause and for his people and Grand Bahama. I go open the floor to Mr. Isaacs, because he knew Colebrook, he knew KCX far better than I did.
Well, good morning again, and my condolences to the family. And like you said, he became a martyr for his cause. Not much more can be expected out of a man than when he would lay down his life and make his life purpose, something that he was willing to die for. The great Martin Luther King, the greatest pacifist other than Mahatma Gandhi, said, if a man has not found a reason for which he would die, he is not worth the life that he is living. So again, condolences. And I also want to extend condolences to another legend in a different field and an activist in our own right in education. That's my good rake and scrape partner down there at the farmer's market where we hang out on a Saturday. I'm a Rosie Fernanda. Mm-hmm. She will be memorialized sometime next week, Thursday. So I just want to say condolences again to the family and friends and associates of Mama Rosie, a well-known, popular figure in politics, education, and community.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you ever want to see some big grown man politing on their P's and Q's and just smiling at you, wait till Auntie Jane hit the farmer's market.
Exactly. All the bad behavior has to cease.
Right? But she bring the joy and she bring the jokes and the life. And like, this is it, right? This is why we need more intergenerational spaces and conversations, because sometimes just being with the elders is inspire you to want to love up one another. The same way, sometimes just looking at little gorgeous picky haired children is make you want to save the world.
You know, and that's important, speaking to our culture, you know. We grew up primarily, especially in the family island diaspora, to respect our culture, respect our religion, respect our elders, and by so doing, respect ourselves. And we have strayed somewhat from that. And to bring this conversation into the focus of this purpose this morning, you know, here we are sitting down talking about the most significant part of our culture, and that is the expression through music.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the last time I was on this musical festival that's called Rake and Scrape Festival that happens every year, the first Friday in June, and beautiful artists down Cat Island. And what we didn't get to at that point was, why have such a festival when the Bahamas is filled with other festivals, things that come to note, every island, especially around the August Monday holiday, celebrate to the max Family Island Regatta.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is the thing. The only time Bahamian music is primarily showcased live in this country is during, not actually at the event of the regatta, but in the nightclubs around the islands that is associated, or they open up because of the fact that regatta is on the island.
It's a post-festival, post-regatta event.
No, it's during the regatta.
Yeah, but I mean in the evening when the boats stop sailing.
Right, so it isn't the focus. Hardly in my experiences of attending regatta on every island in this country, pay it to the sport. But while it is going on, you have DJs playing all sorts of music.
Mm-hmm.
You have artists performing in various genres. And unless you are a popular Bahamian artist, you are not featured on the sound stage at those events.
Mm-hmm.
And up until 1992, the only really known artist that got any sound stage time during a regatta to some limitation was, to my recollection, Lacido, Ernest Lacido Stubbs. He was called Lacido and the Boys at that time.
You know,
and you really had to be a prominent artist, because most of the artists back then was not playing in the genre of rake and scrape. So having realized that, and, you know, other festivals like Pineapple Fest, the rest of them came on after the advent of the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival. So a number of festivals springboarded from the fact that, okay, Cat Island got something going on. Let's focus on something that's indigenous to our island, create a festival that would boost the opportunity and bring attention to not only our culture, but our island and our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of this was analyzed with the fact that, hey, wait a minute, we have a viable art form here in Cat Island that's been, you know, guarded and curated and created for generations. We need to put more attention on this. What helped a lot was a significant effort by men, especially Phil Stubbs, who brought the attention of Rake and Scrape to the world and the Bahamas at large with his album, Cry of the Pot Cake.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, artists realize, this could work. Thereafter, the Rake and Scrape Festival was created to bring attention to the most significant indigenous genre of music that can the Bahamas can identify to, not just Cat Island. We respect our roots and our involvement in creating this art form, but now we want to transmit it through the Bahamas to the rest of the world.
Now look at these bougie Cat Island people talking about they create Rake and Scrape and they sharing it with us. How are you going to tell our brothers and sisters in Abaco, right? Because one of the things, when people ask, is Junkanoo or Rake and Scrape, right? I always say Rake and Scrape because I see it present all over the archipelago. But more importantly, I also see Bahamians of European descent deeply invested in the form. I will acknowledge that y'all created, right? But I just want the other family islands to not feel jealous.
Well, you know, the idea of us focusing on our heritage was not to infuse any jealousy into this. That's far from it.
But no, listen, I want the jealousy. Let me tell you
why. The jealousy needs to be honed in competition and in a competitive environment.
Yes.
And we're going to get to that as we discuss further the development and purpose of the Rake and Scrape Festival.
Boy, so, look at this. So, are you reading my... I hope you're reading my mind.
So right now, you know, here we are. Why have a festival for Rake and Scrape itself?
Yeah.
And like I said, growing up in the family islands, I grew up on music from legendary artists like Rupert and the Rolling Coins, King Eric.
Hold on. Rupert and the Rolling Coins?
The list goes on and on. And when you think of these artists, subconsciously, we didn't even realize that, hey, we are paying attention to other Caribbean art form, which is merengue, soca, calypso, even reggae, ska, and rock steady.
And I've just a small note. I was doing a little research yesterday in Trinidad, and I buck up on this art form called rapso, right? Which is like a
rap and soca.
Yeah, and it's like so listening to current day, present day Busta Rhymes fusing Caribbean reggae and soca with hip hop. So that would have been like 10 years
that's
ago.
That's how the art form of dancehall music transformed from reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but here we are. In the Bahamas now, since we're on that subject, one of the most prolific, exciting young artists out there in the rake and scrape field is one of our co-inhabitants of the farmers market, Stiletto.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When you listen to Stiletto, he is very creative mm-hmm. with his rake and scrape. He himself have a rap version of rake and scrape that he has put out there. Okay, and it's very, very interesting, and it did not stray from the instrumentation involved in the art itself. Oh. But he was very creative in that he sped up the beat and he put it in an art form.
Okay, so 2 points here. If y'all don't understand Stiletto and Rake and Scrape, right? One of the things we're going to talk about today is how music and culture, right, and cultural artisans sit at the core of our personal, community, collective, and national development, right?
Right.
So when you watch the lead video, we raking and we scraping, the perfect the most authentic representation of Bahamian masculinity, right? What is the Bahamian man's form? White linen suit, pressed and starched.
Weddings
and funerals and proms and graduations. But what you see in Stiletto's video is an authentic representation of the Bahamian man. He could dance. Even if he got a belly, this boy could drop to the ground.
Right.
And in that he represents these things.
And when he performs, he puts his entire spirit into his mm-hmm. performance. Have you ever seen a Stiletto performance? He puts his heart and soul into it on the stage, and thereafter, the man has to be revived. He puts so much enthusiasm and effort into his stage performance, but not straying from the course of the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, so the subject was still, why have this festival? Well, one, we need to identify that, hey, here is a music form that is indigenous to this country. Even though, like you say, it was created in Cat Island, it became popular in some way, shape, or form throughout the Bahamas because Cat Islanders didn't keep it to themselves. They traveled, like Ernest Stubbs, to various regatta sites, various over-the-hill spots in Nassau. To my memory and recollection, growing up in Adelaide at Avery's mm-hmm. And other places there, at the Mud, on Carmichael Road. Then, most recently, they found a home at what they call the same old place.
Okay.
This replaces the Lacido Boys Club in Cat Island.
Okay.
So the same, which is now the Volkswagen dealership. And these efforts caused the elites who were looking for something indigenous, something local, to home in on these locations. And bit by bit, support the effort of our own culture and our own presence in this genre. And thereafter, the Cat Islanders realized, hey, we need to educate and inform, create a platform where this can, one, be recognized and identified as something viable. True, the popularism of this art form, this genre of music, speak to the philosophical, religious, social, political topics and subjects that we experience and we want to share in this country. And the best way that you can speak to an Afrocentric, Afro-descendant population is through music. You in books, a select few will study and share. You put our history on a billboard, we pass it, we ignore it. You put our history in music, we listen to it, We may not pay much attention to it, but subconsciously it resonates in our spirit and our soul. And as we grow older and we mature, we realize here is something out of rote learning that I have in my core essence as a human being that I can share now with generations to come and express to them, hey, listen, you hear Ronnie Butler singing about going down Burma Road? Let me explain to you that aspect of our history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You listen to Eddie Minnis talk about the public disclosure bill in the song Show and Tell.
Uh-huh.
And then you were able to tell your grandkids, listen, that was actually a law that was forcibly enacted in the House of Assembly by a popular prime minister who had to fight his own cabinet mm-hmm. to get it done so that the Bahamas would not look as a corrupt banana republic.
Yeah.
So this is the importance of us, one, having a festival that, two, identifies that this is a genre that is all Bahamian. And because of this now, we have an expression that the world could come to us and enjoy and identify in our predominantly tourist market to say that I went to the Bahamas and this is a product that I brought back. These people are awesome. Look at the instrumentation that are primarily used. Look at the type of respect they get locally. And by doing that, we get the international respect. So this was all the purpose behind creating this festival, mm-hmm. inviting people into our home, sharing not only the musical culture, but sharing the culinary culture, the spoken word culture mm-hmm. through poetry, and showing off what's popular and significant about our island and by extension, the Bahamas.
Look here, a model in a model for not just family island development, but for national development. For policy development, even. Man, we're going to take this call, and then when we come back from the break, I got some questions for you about the festival and the potential of family island imagination and determination driving the national voice and the national vision.
Yes.
So let's get to this call. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Godly days of stock, you know, voice along with you and your guest, Aaron Green Eyes Green.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm all in, thank God. I have a couple of interests to herald today. The gentleman speaks of Cat Island with the Rakan Scrape, right?
Yes, Mr. Sidney Isaacs, one of the founders of the Cat Island Rakan Scrape Festival.
Okay, that's good. But the thing is, what I'm trying to figure out, was there the first person, because when I was young, I used to see people scraping the saw with a top with the one string, a piece of board nailed onto the top,
mm-hmm.
Up in an upright manner, and the one string go back into the top for base,
mm-hmm.
and beating the bucket or a box, and that's where I figured rake and scrape came from, and various people were doing that. You know,
yeah.
Not a bunch of people, but I know people who were doing it from various islands.
Well, I think it's about the timeline. I don't think Mr. Isaacs is saying they started rake and scrape in this iteration. He's saying it originates in Cat Island. But I can let him say it.
Well,
if you want me to answer that, here's the thing.
I want to finish my other point first now.
Go right ahead, sir.
Aaron, you speak of somebody sent a tracking...
No, I was saying that there's a company advertising a tracking device, you know? Like, so when you lend your car to your daughter or your son,
okay.
and you want to make sure they go in where they're supposed to be going, you put it on your purse or your phone in case it gets stolen or you misplace it and you can find it.
For time, I got you.
Yeah.
But what that put me in mind of, right? Like this pandemic was going on,
yes.
and this
mm-hmm.
medication in which the prime minister wants us to be taking, right?
Yes, sir.
The thing is, we taking it, he wants us to take it at our own, you know.
Yeah. But listen, let's try stick on Cat Island today.
Yeah,
because
my point is,
yeah, yeah.
nobody want to take responsibility, you know, that if people take the vaccine and anything happen, they were to die, you know, they are free, governor free. Nobody taking responsibility. So what I am saying, the same thing are happening in the food stores, right? They are selling yellow grits and it's not sealed properly, and that's not good in a plastic
Brayman.
Container.
Thank you, Brayman.
Yeah, and to bring this conversation,
because we want stick on Cat
focus.
Island.
Yeah, we appreciate all of the other concerns, but today is primarily speaking about the role of the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival, and the purpose for the festival. Now, he made a statement that two things have to be clarified. One, let me make this clear, because I don't want Cat Island people jumping on my back. I am not one of the originators of the festival. I came along during a time when the festival needed a shift in focus and more attention paid to it. So I would like to think that I was significant in taking up the mantra from those persons that created and saw a need to have the festival, and I took it to a higher heights.
Okay.
So that was my role.
Right, that's good, because you ain't never invite me, and but you can now, because it ain't your thing. It's fun.
No, I can, definitely. Yeah. I am still a member of the Cat Island Rake and Scrape community, the Rake and Scrape Festival itself, committee. I need to pay up my dues, because I have been, for various reasons, the pandemic primarily, but that will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke about the historic development of Rake and Scrape.
Mm-hmm.
There is a saying in Cat Island way back in the day, the old people used to say, you know, ain't nobody is no topsy. Nobody for right. Grape music didn't just fall out the sky, landed in Cat Island. And we claim full acceptance of it.
Yeah.
Rake and Scrape is an infusion of Eurocentrism, Afrocentrism, and local Bahamian creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Every island that had a plantation on it in the Bahamas realized that the slaves helped in the partying atmosphere of the slave masters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So from that collaboration, there were quite a bit of music, European musical instruments, from the violin to the guitar,
the
piano, the fiddle, the accordion.
Yeah.
Now, what is so significant about this is, especially during the development and the emancipation of slaves in the islands, especially Cat Island, one of the instruments that was a perfect hand-me-down instrument and a mobile instrument, like we would say in Cat, a totable instrument, was the accordion. It infused the wind aspect of a blowing instrument and the keyboards of the piano. So it was the perfect instrument to be inherited by an ex-slaves or during slavery time.
Mm-hmm.
And what did out the islands was speed up the beat to make it a little more Afrocentric and infuse that music with their local, whatever they had in their local
indigenous sound. Yeah.
Right? There's a song by Pat Ramin. They ain't got no choir, they ain't got no show, and Lee Sister beat a ray and brought a bound to Dicey Doe. It alludes to the fact that, especially in the family islands, where we don't have instrumentation, where we don't have electricity, where we don't have the big churches, we have to make do with what we have. So throughout the diaspora of the Bahama Islands, some form of musical expression was tuned into. However, the creativity and the development of the rake and scrape art basically was honed in Cat Island, and it was shared throughout the decades in various, because everybody, all road led to one central location, and that was Nassau. So when you had now the Joe Billies and all of those persons who were involved in the nightclub scene back then, they didn't pay what was indigenously ours in Cat Island. So the nightclub scene was one of those things that I would say contributed to the death or the suffocation of Bahamian indigenous music, such as Rake and Scrape. Because when you think of all of those great artists of the past, they were they were replicating American music in those nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Some of the art and art form came from the Caribbean and very little infusion of Bahamian. But what was so persistent about the Cat Islanders was the fact that we didn't have the development in our environment to cause us to gravitate much towards that other than what we heard in short spurts on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were forced to do was create our own.
Entertain yourself. Dance,
entertain, and most of the Family Islands did. But while others tend to have put it aside, we in our development still lag behind, and we kept our indigenous form of rake and scrape through celebrating Junkanoo, Guy Fawkes, or just a dance in a school.
Let me put a stop here. If anybody say Brave Davis not putting water in Cat Island for 40 years is the reason why Rake and Scrape survived, we rebuke that. But isn't it interesting, though, right? This idea that the stagnation in infrastructural development and development on the islands created a psychic state, a psychological state, right? That forced you all to entertain yourselves.
By whatever means we had at our disposal.
Right. And look at
what we have, a national genre, so to speak, mm-hmm. that needs to be recognized, needs to be invested in
mm-hmm.
from a governmental and a private sector inclusion
yeah.
so that we now can brag internationally on the same spirit and speed as the calypso, the soca, and the reggae artists. And that is important. And that is one of the primary focus of the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival. Make people aware that, hey, this is us. This is ours. This is where it originated. This is how we shared. And one of the person that was highly significant during the development of this stage was Edmund Moxie.
Well, hold on, pause. I'm glad you say that. Look here, if you all see me jumping in my seat, trying to find the right spot to jump in, right? Because, man, there's a lot of information that people need to hear so they could understand why I keep asking this question. Should Family Island imagination and determination drive national policy? But the text is this. We must remember all of Ed Moxie band members from Jumbe Village was Cat Islanders. Ednell Miller playing both the Constantina,
which is another name for the accordion.
I didn't know that. And drum at the same time. Hula Newbold cramping the saw from the 70s. That's what you do. You cramp the saw.
That's the art of bending it and scraping. So you don't just leave.
Yeah.
You flex the saw
at the same time.
You get a different inflection of sound. Yes.
And they were both from Bennett's Harbor, Cat Island, long before the Lassie Doughboys.
Yes.
Thank you, Texter. Thank you very much.
So that lends into what I was saying.
Yeah.
The development of rake and scrape music to what we know now happened primarily in Cat Island. We didn't abandon our culture. We didn't abandon our creativity. We invested fully in it. Basically because, we had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had no choice. Early on in the development of Cat Island, we didn't know anything. Even as a young fella growing up in school, one of the most amazing things that you would get to see, and the only DJ I knew as a child growing up in Cat Island, happened to be a white American school teacher who had one antiquated-looking, wire-driven DJ set. Didn't know anything about mixing. So you play song after song on a double turntable,
yeah.
and you had to wait till the song end. You catch your breath for 2 minutes for the next one to happen. But when that rake and scrape band come on, that's continuous music, and your energy and your vibes flow continuously for a little
Absolutely.
While.
Listen, I think it's time for us to go to a break, Kermit. And just before we go to this break, apparently there's been a nasty accident by the mall at Marathon Light. The text is saying police are not on the scene yet, so please exercise extreme caution and patience in that area, but wreckers are there. Hopefully the police officers listening right now who could call into road traffic and send vehicles out. Yes, let's get to this break. And when we come back from this break, listen, I need to know what's so special about Cat Island. I want you to give us one or two historical tidbits as we head towards the end of the show. And then I want us to talk more about festival development and some of the key strategies that you have used in Kyat Island to maximize what you have available to you to create such a beautiful product.
But he's gone to join a big old band, king of fragrance grape in all the land. Salute him now and clap your hands. Say, Lassie-do, Lassie-do, sir.
Lassie-do, Lassie-do.
Since you've been gone. Oh, Lassie-do, Lassie-do, sir.
Lassie-do.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tumble up. Lock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
COVID-19, do not panic. Be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Now, fellas, Mommy Jane out now, and while I go on, I want no raking and scraping in here.
No, Mama, we ain't gonna rake and scrape. No. We can clean the whole kitchen. We ain't raking and scraping.
All right,
now. Mama don't like no raking and scraping in here.
Raking and scraping.
Mama don't like no raking and scraping in here.
Hey.
We don't care what Mama don't like, gonna rake and scrape it anyhow. Mama don't like no raking and scraping.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green and my guest, Mr. Sidney Isaacs, the Kyat Island Man. Are you tuned into 96.9 FM? And let me tell you how you can join this conversation. Well, of course, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or Flow, channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that is powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. And to call into the show, our numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. So I had asked Mr. Isaacs to tell me what's so sweet about Kyat Island. Tell me a secret. And he told me in the break, and I can't tell you.
Well, one is the uniqueness of its people. You could live there all your life, wake up every morning, and guess what? You can't expect the same thing to happen, or the same people that you spoke to before to come with the same old boring vibe and spiritual essence as the day before. We change, we reflect, we move on, and we make do with what we have. We don't throw things away, we develop them, and we transform them. And speaking of transformation, Erin, one of the most significant activity and function of the Kyat Island Rake and Scrape Festival, especially during my tenure, has been a competition called the Battle of the Bands. This is where we invite local and national groups, individuals. Even if you think you are a member of the audience who could put together an impromptu scrap group.
So Erin and the Chick Chinese could come
Erin
and play.
And the Chick Chinese could come and you could grab some members from different groups that had already performed and go on that stage and be your unique self. And you can participate in the Battle of the Bands. However the rules are, you must have the indigenous instrumentation, at least The one that you cannot get rid of is the saw and the drum. So the accordion and the rest of the instrumentation is optional. And your content must sing about local concerns. This battle of the bands is for us in our little diaspora. During that show is to encourage the other rake and scrape artists that are bigger than these scrap groups, so to speak, right? To realize that you have a platform and a responsibility to the national consciousness of this country. The platform of the Battle of the Bands is there for those groups to show off the music, the dance, but the lyrics contained in the songs that you create for this competition must speak to socio-political or economic subjects. One of the most prolific songs that came out of the Battle of the Bands in my history was, I'm going to speak about two, and they were performed by Bohog and the Rooters. Sorry, not Bohog, and Ophi and the Websites. One, The Whole Hog. Here is a song that speak to us not settling for scraps, pieces. And when you look deep into the vision of Cleophas Webb in writing that song, he is telling you, we are not settling. We want all that we deserve. And this is something in the Bahamas. I heard them complaining about the independence shutout of local artists. Okay, you ain't get nowhere with that when you speak to the political directorate. Then get your butt in the shack, in the studio, wherever it is you go for inflection and reflection. Put it in writing. Put it in music. Express your frustration.
And get
Express
it out there.
Express yourself. And document this period in Bahamian history where you think the artists of the Bahamas from the secular world was slighted for something that really didn't represent us. Don't brood about it only on talk shows and the talk show circuit and among yourselves. D-Mac.
Memorialize it.
Lady E. Sweet Emily. And all of those who put pen to paper. Let us dance to it. Let us use it on our political protest, our social protest, and let us etch this time.
I got to cut you for a second and put it in your political campaign song. Stop copying American popular songs.
Okay.
Get the local artists to make it. All right, look here, caller, you got 30 seconds because I got to add, I got to read. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Man, you tell me calling, I call, you tell me I got 30 seconds. You all go long-winded. Let me tell you, one of the things I really mad at, I would say my four parents, is this.
Yes.
At 70 years old, I've only been to about two or three islands in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Man, I remember growing up every summer, days were fine.
Mm-hmm.
Every summer, we'd go to Miami for something, Biscayne Boulevard, down there by Ponce de Leon Hotel, all around Columbus Hotel. I didn't know Miami backward and forward. Down over what do you call the place? Over the hill or whatever.
And I bet you don't know where Brother Henry is.
I never been to Cat Island. I heard with all these may go on to Cat Island and all this. Unless you belong to some political group who go around campaigning, you'll grow up in Nassau. Some people in Nassau never been to East End yet.
Mm-hmm.
Some never been to the roundabout of Life and Key yet.
Yes.
They're born in East Street, and they go from East Street to Wolf Road, Bay Street to Juggalo, back to East Street. They don't go out of Nassau. Most of what we never sell ourselves to our people. Everything foreign was always right. I've been to Grand Bahama, Seaport. I've been to Eleuthera, Harbor Island. Never been to Long Island, even though they say I'm from Long Island. I never been to Long Island.
My
never been to Abaco, never been to Bimini.
Look at that, eh?
I've been to Andres, I've been to Luxor, I've been to Exuma, and Grand Bahama.
That's an important
And they tell me we got 700 islands and keys.
3,000.
And I only been to four, and I'm 70 years old. Because our parents, if we jump on the bed, every time we get up, we want to go on a cruise, we're going to Florida. They never take their children to the family island, and guess what? If you go to the family island, you can hardly afford to live over there. One little bowl of two pieces of wing, chicken salad for breakfast in the morning cost me $20.
Well, look here, Sparky, how you think the people on the island dealing with it? Do we only get
How they live.
Yeah.
$20, a woman, one piece of potato, two pieces of onion, some sour, and 2 pieces of chicken wings, and that was $30.
Look here, Sparky, I got to go, but you
know... That's in Bryland.
I know.
You can't afford to live in the Bahamas.
That's why the sauce tastes so good, because it costs $1,000 to make. Thank you very much, Sparky. I got to go. I got to read this ad, and it's so apropos, right? I have a message about the Family Island Development Act. Under the Family Island Development Act, any resident, prospective resident, or business owner on Andras or in Southern Islands of the Bahamas, 18 years and older, can apply at mygateway.gov.bs for exemptions on any of the following items purchased locally or internationally: building materials, plumbing fixtures and materials, electrical fixtures and materials, household furniture, furnishings and appliances, hardware supplies, commercial equipment and related fittings, IT hardware and software, excluding cell phones, tablets, or personal digital assistants, solar panels and related equipment and fittings, business license, and real property tax. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Now, I figure that's a good place. Well, that's where I had to put it, because here we see some movement from the government in increasing resources and access to resources for family islanders, right? It's now important for family islanders to step up, identify what is available, and start using what you have at hand to develop with or without the government's assistance, right? And I think I want to take us back to the point we were talking about the artists and the artist's commitment to the work and to themselves and to building the platforms that they want, right? And what is required of them. My critique of the independence celebration, one of them was, why didn't the artist just host their own concert and encourage Bahamians to donate to pay the artists?
My family actually went out of the way to find a location where Bahamian artists was showcased during the independence holiday weekend. And without making mention of the name for the sake of advertisement, they found it at a popular Nouveau Riche Bahamian restaurant. And a number of artists was featured there themselves. They shared the experience by WhatsApp, Facebook Live, and you name it. And if the individual finding this, they didn't set out with this purpose, but they came across it.
Yeah.
And they participated. And it was well attended. How much more if the artists, like you say, had put that effort into telling us, this is where we are going to be, this is our protest. Take away from the attention from the scheduling of the political directive and put it on yourself. You have that power. Understand that. I know I'm going to get in trouble and a lot of people are going to be coming after me. My name is Sydney Isaacs. My page on Facebook is such.
But in trouble,
I have an ad word there saying that I will be here today. All of your concerns, befriend me on Facebook. Put it there.
Yeah, but
let's discuss.
Ain't nobody could be mad at you for telling Bahamian artists to use their own agency to realize their own power and potential, and to organize amongst themselves.
And it is so easy. We have no excuse, really, you know. Well, because you can download an app and put together your music. You understand?
Yeah.
In this digital era, you don't have to sit in a studio as much as in the past. Your previous guest on this show, let me shout out to my former mentor.
Solo. Solo, okay. Made to the
Solo.
Google.
The Bahamian artist need to understand that something happened 10 minutes ago. Solo already have that.
Put it out there.
And within an hour to 2 hours of that happening, he puts it in a popular platform and it gets out. I am just praying and hoping that Solo catalogs each and every one of these things so that we could have a historical catalog of the concerns that he expressed as they happen. The Bahamian artist doesn't have to do it in real time like that, but significant, prolific occurrences in our
environment and our communities have to be expressed and documented. You have to take the opportunity whilst it's still fresh in the minds of our people. And you have to be able to put pen to paper. They say Tupac wrote 6 songs in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on, it's not that hard.
And you got to take the documentation of history out of the hands of the political class and the political culture.
And the foreign investor who has a vested interest for us through persons in this country just making it a blurred, dismal representation and a distraction from. And basically, when you look at the whole structure and setup of Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival, when you invite these artists on stage, we don't just invite them into Cat Island just to come and perform on stage. We display our talents, we display our culture. We encourage them to walk through the community, go to different nightclubs, go on a sightseeing tour. And a number of songs were penned and written in Cat Island by these artists. One that's been brought to mind, Obia and the Cat.
Obia and the Cat, that's Obia the band? The or
that is a song that was collaborated on, I believe, by 3 individuals in Cat Island. I'm not going to get in trouble by calling any names.
No, no,
but
don't.
It was performed by Clay Cupid Adderley, and it's called Obia and the Cat.
Man, look here. Okay, so watch this. I get a call, and then I got to ask you, where can we find all of these artists and their music? Caller, you're on the clock. But listen, we're talking Cat Island, Family Island, development, political vision, and imagination. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm so sorry, caller. We lost you. Let's get back to that.
Yes, so here we are. We have a genre of music that has been kept, curated, and honed in a particular island and shared with the rest of the Bahamas. Now we are at a juncture, a crossroads in the development of our society where there are a number of concerns that etches and just brings out the best and the worst of us.
And it makes me think, this is a tiny bit of politics. It makes me think, is the political class afraid that the secular artists were going to break out and tell the stories and lived experiences of Bahamians over the last 18 months?
There is a truth that says power concedes nothing without demand. And if you don't put demand on power, you can expect nothing. So I do not expect the ruling class, the governance that be, that exists, to always, because their existence is based on popularity. They are not going to sign on and sign up for anything that's unpopular or is criticizing them. That tells you right there how much of a social responsibility the Bahamian musicians have to our society.
To the collective.
And they need to understand that they are the people who represent the power that is greater than the people in power.
Now, guys, you hear that music. That means we're all out of time. And look here. I got to have Mr. Cat Island back for toy time if Cat Island will release him. Back to us, Badhead, Nassau people. Look here, I got a text here. Say, great show as usual, but you can't track a mango. A mango is untraceable. Look here, that's what my mother's telling me all the time. Many persons who grew up in Nassau, New Providence, are brainwashed by the government for years. They rely on government for everything. These governments over the years have no business experience. They have a lot of no experience. Hey, Miss Green, until the government start making the family island affordable, existed. You see, we got to work on that energy crisis. And we're going to get that. And another thing is, why family islanders have to come to Nassau before they could go to another family island? I don't think we understand the extent to which we are stagnating the development of these people because we allowed a political vision to drive us forward. But the political vision is about expediency and saving money and not doing any work that's not necessary, right? So we got to change the way we think about the collective, our response. And again, I ask the question, is it time to let family island determination and imagination drive the national vision and the political voice? Because 2 days ago, I met a man from Spanish Wales who dove the coldest point in the Bahamian waters with no wetsuit. Why? Because he's Family Island man, and he's Bill House in 3 days. And imagine if we had that leading our young people into the future. I hope I didn't miss any texts except this last one here. I'm coming right now, Kermit, from my FNM friend, Miss Green. FNM ain't long now. FNM too straight from always. Beggar be honest text. I glad you texted today. We gonna write a song about that. Because Minnis let the cat out the bag. It seems it ain't long now at all. But I just wish someone would tell me when it's gonna be, because that's my business. That's our business. And it takes 17 days for the mail to get to the Family Island, so these people need to know ahead of time. And what you doing to make sure that Abaconians who want to return to Abaco can return to vote? Right? Fixing the register the way you did is insufficient. Make efforts so that Family Island people could have the same ease and accessibility to governance as Nassau people. Come on, man. You think these Family Island people build and drive this nation for us to sit in Nassau and do foolishness all day? And talking about we raking in and scraping in and don't know nothing about it? Let's get it right. I gotta go. And my last words for today are, if you didn't know, they called Jones Old Jones. Bahamians even created rap music. Trust me, we gotta do this thing. We gotta do it. Anyway, I gotta go. Have a great day, Bahamas. You've been tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. It's 11 o'clock and Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. Have a great day.
People are so nice, you want to meet them twice. Oh, la, 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 la. Oh, la, 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 la.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.